CliffCentral.com.
This year saw us exploring the psychological implications of clothing. We did this with last year's first year fashion design students at the University of Johannesburg. We picked a winning design and the winning students are here, Sunal, Kristen and Brittany. Now, it's taken some time to interview them because they're students with impossible timetables, but we're happy to finally have them here.
Even me, I'm here.
I'll get to you, Em. So I'll introduce you guys again a little later, but for now, I just really want to give a quick breakdown of this collaboration. So we explored the concept of enclothed cognition with the students, which is clothing's ability to affect the wearer's psyche and overall mental and physical performance. So what you perceive of a garment while you're wearing it is how your brain will perform. Now, through this process, what we saw was just how far clothing's impact goes. And just speaking about it or even presenting a new garment is no match for association. What do I mean by this? Well, it's when we associate meaning to what we see. It's stored memory, like associating wealth and sophistication to people who wear Gucci or Prada, or when we associate respect and seriousness to a man in a suit. Those connections that our minds make are a design in themselves. So beyond reimagining and redesigning garments, associations need redesigning as well. So to help us explore this further, we have Sunal Nagar, Kristen Solomon, and Brittany Shepston. So good to have you. Welcome.
Really good.
We're glad to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. How you guys are divas. It took so long.
And as usual, we have my lovely co-host, Mbali Njumane.
Oh, stop.
So welcome to the Made Sessions on cliffcentral.com.
Thank you.
Yeah, guys, it's so cool to have you here. How do you feel?
Excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Demi-nervous. So chilled. So, I mean, you guys only just like redesigned the domestic worker uniform.
Nothing much. No big deal.
Speaking of that uniform, so I mean, it was quite competitive, that process, eh? How many in your class in total?
About
25. Yeah. So you're 3 out of 25, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone, so all 25 students, they worked in teams and they all submitted several designs per team. And then from those designs, we chose one. So you actually had quite a few as well, hey?
Yes.
And from the... So we probably had like an excess of like what?
Maybe 30.
30 designs to choose from. Yeah. And you guys won.
It was a clear winner as well. I remember the first time Bali saw it. She was like, oh my God, like, it's the one. This is it. Yeah, she literally did that though.
No, I was like, I'm done. She's like, I'm done now.
She tells me, let me know when you're finished. I'm finished. Let me know when you're finished.
No, dudes, it was really that good. So talk us through the winning uniform design. What was the philosophy behind it?
Because the whole project was about enclosed cognition, we took a look at the previous uniform and we looked at how it made domestic workers feel. So we did in-depth research. We spoke to our housekeepers and we asked them a lot of questions on how it makes them feel. They weren't quite comfortable wearing it in public. And then we took a look at how other uniforms look. Brittany was speaking of how we look at the Dubai Emirates air hostesses and they walk so proud.
They do.
And we wanted to create a uniform that created that proudness.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. And I mean, it's a beautiful uniform. And what I love about it is that it kind of evolves. Yeah. So it goes from being a pinafore to being a dress.
Yes.
What was the thinking behind that? Okay. Also, by the way, a pinafore is an apron for the many people who don't know.
Okay. Within our university, the way they make us think is that you don't want to design something that has one purpose.
Mm.
It's always better to have one garment that can give multiple purposes.
Mm.
So to be able to design a uniform that can turn into something that's not actually a uniform.
Mm.
So like the pinafore that turns into a dress that you can wear out. Mm. That was our main focus.
And just to take stock a little bit, because I know we threw you guys in the deep end, have all three of you had domestic workers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have all of them worn uniform?
Yeah.
No.
My domestic worker, she's left now, but she used to. But she had the choice.
Mm.
And she just wanted to. And sometimes she wouldn't. It just depended on what work she was doing.
Okay, so you've at least all had domestic workers, and I'm sure you've seen the uniform around. So what did you think of it before?
It wasn't palatable.
It wasn't palatable. Layman terms. I know you like fancy like fashion designers, but describe this for the layman.
No, it showed no shape. It was very generic. Mm. The colors were drab, the design. When I spoke to the housekeepers, my housekeeper chose not to wait. Mm. She felt like her personality was drowning in it.
Mm. Well, what I'm wondering is all clothing fashion? Like, is all clothing tailored or designed? So even though, you know, you say that it was very straight and not designed, was that a design as well? Was it very intentional?
I think it used to be. So it once was designed and now it's developed into something different. So it may have had, I think I remember in our panel discussion, they were saying how it was once a Victorian or I can't remember exactly. But so then now it's developed into almost the high and the upper class, and then those clothes got handed down to those that couldn't afford clothes and then they just wore those.
Its purpose was completely outdated, essentially.
Yes.
And because it didn't have a purpose, then maybe what happened along the line is that that's how kind of the stigma crept into it,
yeah,
right? Because it became about their situation rather than what the garment was initially designed for.
And there's so many different ways that the garments are designed. So the one way could be that they design prestige into it, and then when you wear it, by virtue of that association, you are a prestigious person. You know, there's the other way, it is made, and then when you wear it, you're the one that ultimately determines what it starts to represent, the kind of value that it has.
Yes.
In which order do you think the uniform was designed?
Back in the day, help was about status.
Yes.
So it had more to do with the employers and their status than it did with the women who were supposed to wear it.
I think, especially in the history of South Africa, people who offered a service to the upper class, they were never considered as people, especially in apartheid times.
Mm.
They were always seen as that person that's cleaning my house and never seen as a person.
Mm.
So I think it never had that sense of power or sense of pride put into it. It was just there as a uniform. It was never.
And do you think something that might require mass production, because there are uniforms, usually uniforms are mass produced, do you think that they could, that even though something is mass produced, that it could still be something that allows one to express themselves?
So the All-Stars mass produced, and yet it symbolizes something so special.
It's true.
So I believe that if we emphasize on the design and what it's meant to mean, I think we can look over the mass production.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what it boils down to is, who is the design for? Is it for the wearer or is it for somebody else?
Yes.
And I think the reason why their individuality was written out of it was they were never actually the market for it.
Yes.
Which is like quite an interesting way to think about it. They were never actually, I mean, to this day, domestic workers don't go and buy their own uniform, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's given to them. And so, yeah, I think All-Stars, on the other hand, are different because they're designed for the people who buy them.
Yes.
And for the way they want to feel and look.
I know about like hotels and stuff. There's a lot of people that hire companies to come and personally fit uniforms onto all of their staff. So a cleaner, a chef, a hostess, they're all getting the same treatment, the same uniform, and the same the same uniform, even though they have different levels of work.
Mm. If something is a uniform, then presumably it's for uniformity, and it usually is about like a brand or an employer rather than the person wearing it. So do you think in that instance, take a school uniform, for instance, right? To what extent do you think when something is a uniform, the wearer has a right to a personality.
I think with, well, being a domestic worker, I think you do have, and you should be, representing who you are, because you're in such an environment that you're trying to help other people be who they are. You're busy cleaning up their house, you're busy helping their kids, so showing...
That's brilliant.
So you must also stand for your values and your morals. So if you want to wear your pink long sleeve shirt, you must wear that pink long sleeve shirt because it's your pink long sleeve shirt. So I think it is important to show who you are, and I think there obviously are limits, and it does depend on your employer, I think, but I think you do have the right to be yourself and to, yeah.
But like adding on to the school uniform thing and having your own input into it, for me, when I was in school, you'd have to wear your uniform in a certain way, but I'd have that certain pride so that I knew I looked great in that uniform. And even like getting a scroll, you're showing how, you're showing your individuality, even though you're wearing the school uniform.
But what school uniforms also do is represent a collective. But domestic workers are individuals that look like a collective.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So that is the thing, is they work for a home and it's a one-on-one relationship. But it's designed as though, you know, every South African home was a collective or a Parktown Girls. Where
it's actually a bit ironic that they have uniforms when they're not working as collectives in those uniforms. It's so personal.
Absolutely.
What they do that they shouldn't.
And it's even different if you work for a cleaning company, right? So if you work for like a cleaning company that does commercial cleaning in like offices, that's very different as well. But when you work as yourself, you're almost like a freelancer if you're a domestic worker, and the jobs, they range so much, right? Yeah. One domestic worker does is not what another domestic worker does. So you're absolutely right in that.
Did you test your designs with any domestic workers?
I didn't have the actual designs with me, but what I did do was I showed pictures to my domestic worker and a few others, and they went crazy.
Did they?
Right? Yes.
That's awesome.
They're like, you've got to make me one, like soon. They went crazy. They loved it. They loved the design, and they actually thought it was modern.
Now, if we told everyone, look, South Africa, this is a new domestic worker outfit, do you think that it would carry the same stigma that the current one does?
I think if we make sure we communicate the right message and make them understand how it all began, I think it will take a totally different approach. Yes. I think it will create a bigger impact in terms of how we treat our domestic workers. Mm. Because personally, with this project, my whole view changed.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know so much. I mean, I learned so much through the project. And from there, I then took it further and communicated it to my friends and family. Mm. A lot of perspectives then started changing. Mm.
So given what we said before about it not making sense for this one uniform to represent all domestic workers, do you think then perhaps what's missing, and we love the design that we have, and we think, you know, the lovely thing about this design is a lot of individuality can be built into it, right? So you can wear it in different ways and personalize it. But do you think that's enough, or do you think there needs to be more of a range?
Well, I think in terms of maybe the weather, seasons, I think a different range could come into handy. And also maybe a range where there's a certain purpose in the house, so you get protected from the certain jobs in the household.
So we're trying to avoid doing something different just for the sake of being different. And I think you as designers are probably always like engaging with that. Your lecturers are probably telling you, you know, like design isn't just about making something look different, right? Yes. It's about it responding to what your brief is asking you, the parameters, the realities, all that kind of stuff. So how is your design not just, you know, new or different, but actually better?
I know with our design, we tried to incorporate a way in which the domestic workers could use their own clothing and use the uniform as the protective layer. So it's not actually the uniform that they're wearing. It's just like a thing that they can put over.
So the uniform complements them.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, not the other way around. Yeah.
Even the way it zips up into a dress, then it's not a uniform anymore. Then it's a dress.
Yeah.
So it's completely different. It's never seen as a uniform. That's like a whole purpose of our design. It wasn't meant to be seen as a uniform. It's meant to be seen as something that can go with your outfits.
Mm.
Like when you go out, you can just zip it up into a dress and you can go out and you'll look.
Yeah.
What was the hardest thing about redesigning this uniform?
Personally, I think the hardest thing was to actually design something that did justice for the whole purpose.
Mm.
It was such a deep purpose for us. I mean, if you look into it, I mean, we don't usually get, we were so fortunate to get a project where it showed us how clothing can change perception in the world and change things, the way things are done. We were so fortunate to get this project and to have that responsibility and take it through to the end. That was, for me, I mean, it was challenging and amazing at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think another challenging part was the fact that we don't know how it feels to wear this uniform.
Mm.
So creating something that we don't really associate ourselves with that.
Mm.
But now having that type of challenge was really, really amazing because like Sonal said, it did help us and it did open our eyes. And then eventually once our eyes were like open, we could approach every different type of angle and like a perception of it because, I mean, not perception, but like different angle of it so that we can come up with like a very, very good solution. Mm. We tried. So.
And did you learn anything new or interesting about yourselves or your fellow classmates, maybe about their relationships to domestic workers?
I actually, after having this conversation with my domestic worker, I started building a friendship with her.
Ah.
And, I mean, I think that changed a lot in the household.
That's incredible.
You know, sometimes I would go home and I could see that she wasn't happy. And sometimes you would think you're doing something wrong in the house because my family's very easygoing.
Mm.
But then after starting to speak to her, I realized that maybe her goal wasn't to become a domestic worker, but to be something more.
Mm.
And then I started thinking, how can you help someone grow from there? You know, that also started, I mean, I started realizing and...
Jeez, that's incredible.
And
so much more than, I mean, we always hope what we do will kind of lend itself to more depth and more communication and interaction and more understanding between people.
Yes.
But just to hear you say that is absolutely incredible. And I think the power for me in this was you must have started to identify with these women as women.
Yes.
Right?
But you don't realize how much someone is going through. They're standing right next to you and they're not able to communicate. Mm. That was painful for me to see. Is that, I mean, we sit next to each other. We walk past each other and yet there's such close communication. You don't know what the next person going through.
Mm.
And you're in a position to help at times.
Or you feel more entitled in the space to voice your concerns than someone else in the same space. Like you have more of a chance to voice out your concerns and issues in your home than she does, but you're in the same home.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. Yes. So on that point, to what extent do you think clothing plays a role in closing off communication?
Personally, when I look like I don't feel comfortable in what I'm wearing, I feel like I'm looking a bit drab, my face is down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Already I'm closing communication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too conscious about what someone's going to say about my sneaker.
Mm.
So already I move away from people.
Mm. So. Or like a stain that you got.
Oh my God, amazing.
And like it's so visible, but you're dying to have the person not say anything to you, you know? But it like affects you mentally. It really does.
Mm.
Throws you off.
Completely. I mean, literally all roads lead home. once I feel like crap. Mm.
Yeah. Like I'm done with the whole day.
As soon as I leave the house, I just want to go back.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Also, when I had a conversation with my husband's, she's the nanny / housekeeper. I'm not too sure what's the title there. And I started having a conversation with her and I realized how much she reads, how much knowledge she has, how much she actually has to share. You don't know.
And so, again, where does clothing play a role in that?
Maybe, and then it's subconscious. Sometimes you don't do it purposely, but as soon as you see the uniform, you associate it with something, and it's not actually the reality of it.
Yeah.
But the thing is as well, when she's going into your space, she's not there to show you how clever she is. That's not what she's going there for. Yes, so
the interesting thing that we heard from a group of domestic workers, and actually there was one in particular, but I think the rest agreed with her, is the beauty of this uniform that you've designed is it doesn't give away what they are. So they can be so much more.
Yes.
So with that, and it might not be an easy question, but anyone can take it. What do you think is fashion's fundamental aim?
So, firstly, I decided to get into fashion because I was not initially into fashion. Was because I realized it can change your attitude. You can change perception. And I mean, I knew very little before I got to campus, but through our lecturers, through subjects like theory of clothing, and through projects like these, you learn that fashion plays a huge role in society. I mean, the clothes we wear represent a lot about us. And I mean, through times in history, if you look at the different costumes, it played different roles and it got you out of different situations. And I think that is what I look at.
Do you think it reflects human evolution?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you think it's one of the most accurate?
The whole of human.
Yeah, for realsies though.
I love my co-host. Do you think it reflects the meaning of life?
Of life itself. I mean, you know that's what you're studying, right?
Yeah. That's pretty hectic.
No, but I mean, when you think about like the loincloths when people were in the caves, it reflected the kind of tools that they had at the time. You know, it reflected the kind of things that they could hunt for, that kind of stuff. So it literally represented technology. You know, and as we progressed every time, I think it represents human evolution. That's just my impression. And it's fundamental. And I think that's why I also think it's like a good thing to also explore when trying to see where we are in our country democratically.
That's true.
As well, you know, like if domestic workers were wearing the same thing during apartheid and after apartheid, you know, what changes have actually happened in their lives, you know, because on paper, maybe a few things have changed, more laws have been put in place to protect them and that kind of stuff, but it's so unregulated that some of those laws aren't even reinforced. So I wonder if sometimes you can also see the progress of a society by clothing, through clothing. What are your thoughts?
So I think fashion is very influential. And like if we had to look back, let's say to the 1920s, we learned that it was a very extravagant time. And even the clothes represented that extravagant time. It represented the mentality that, okay, it's just the war's just finished. We have nothing to lose. We might as well spend our money on everything and enjoy life as much as we can. And you can see it in their clothing, like their wore jewels and bedazzled stuff, and changed the way that they thought about how they dressed, especially women, especially in those days. And I think even now that still happens. Like, I know that there's quite a lot of companies now that are focused on sustainability and recycling, like finding ways to manufacture clothes in a different way that are eco-friendly and that will help the planet, especially like taking plastic and recycling plastic and making fabric from
yes,
it.
Yes, wow.
Like, yeah. I think that's, it shows how fashion isn't just a,
it's not just something on your back.
Shallow. Yes, yeah. Mm. It's not a shallow thing, exactly. It's not shallow.
But is it something you have to fight against all the time? As
Yeah. I think it's, people, when you, we struggle with this all the time. Whenever we tell somebody we're studying fashion design, there's always like that.
The eye roll.
The eye roll, and then the, oh,
cool. That's nice.
Is that what you're doing?
Oh, that's a university degree.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's not a 3-month course.
Yeah.
So actually, on that note, Jacques, why is it important for projects like this to be part of your learning? First part of the question.
I think it's extremely important because I would never have thought about redesigning a domestic worker's uniform. Like, it never crossed my mind. Mm. It never made me think out of that box and try find a way to help people that I associate myself with every day. Like, my domestic worker, she's there. She's helping. She's cleaning my room. She's making my bed. But I still don't even think about how she would feel about what she's wearing. But then I go to varsity and I'm like, focused on, okay, I'm going to design clothes for somebody who's wearing clothes all the time and just doesn't even think about it in a different way.
Someone you don't know that intimately.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So do you think it gives, this type of project gives credibility to, and substance to what you're studying?
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, it starts from us. Mm. We're the designers.
Mm.
So projects like this give us the opportunity to change things, to think differently and to push boundaries.
Mm.
And only then will it escalate to something more.
But is there innovation potential here or is it charity?
Innovation.
Yes.
Innovation.
Perfect. Because the next part to that question was then going to be, how can this sort of design process make you more commercially successful as fashion designers?
We could apply these sort of principles in design as a whole in society.
Mm.
I don't think this is charity. It's just if changing the way we think, it's innovation.
Mm.
We're reaching different places in our mind, and that's what we need.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what about this idea of decolonizing fashion design? Like this idea that like our learning needs to be more context specific. And that does, I think, create a level of sustainability to what we design if it matches the context that we're in, right?
Yes.
So does that, I mean, is that something that's important to you?
I think it is. Where I come from, build a strong base for me.
Mm.
You know, you always look back to your roots. Mm. And we're South African at the end of the day.
Mm.
Only we can tell our story.
Mm.
So I think our education needs decolonization as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
And do you think this is that type of project?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I think it's important because as designers, we aren't just here to be creative and let our free thoughts just flow. We're here to design and fix those problems that we have the creative minds, as you would like some would say, to come up with those new solutions. And that's why we call ourselves designers, because we're here to design new solutions and give those problems a solution. And I think that's why it's important, especially in our country. It's not, because you hear about it more overseas and their problems being solved. And over here, you just don't hear about it. So I think that's why it is important to implement that into our modules and our projects.
Mm.
So like yesterday, we were having a discussion with our business teacher, and she said a lot of students go overseas and they want to try things.
Yeah.
But they haven't tried it here in the South African market before.
Mm.
And if you haven't tried it out here in your home country, how is it going to make it overseas? Like how?
Mm.
So you need to focus on your home, your roots, where you came from.
But this is the other thing about creativity, and this is why it's so sad to me that like commercially in many ways we're such a copycat society still. Mm. Is that for me creativity comes from authenticity, right? It comes from making the most of your identity, you know, and from where you come from. And I think, you know, in a country that's such, with such rich heritage, diversity, just social issues, you know, history, all these good things, right? There's just like so many different conditions and backgrounds in this country and types of personalities and experiences to play with, you know? And those things for me are what makes creativity rich. And, you know, ultimately, you can always be you can only be the second best version of another person, mm-hmm. you know, or another yeah. country or another culture. So, yeah, I guess it's nice to see young people who are very tuned in to the creative advantages of coming from a unique context.
But with that, I do wonder, does your syllabus sort of aspire to Eurocentric ideals? You know, like, when students finish your course, do they tend to want to go to other places like Paris or New York? You know, those places that are considered, you know, places that reinvent fashion or that create all the trends and that kind of stuff. Do you think that anything about your curriculum and your syllabus also contributes to wanting that, to still believing that that is the way that fashion must be done?
I don't think it's the curriculum itself. I think it's that as in South Africa, we don't have enough textbooks with South African information in them. Mm. So we're learning from textbooks from like the UK. Like now mm-hmm. we're doing a project for production mm-hmm. and we're working with a UK textbook, and it's different, it's difficult because they're working in different months to what we are working in, because their winter is different to our winter. Mm. So I don't think it's actually wanting to learn from the UK, it's just that that's the only resources available.
I try to research on the net to get the schedules that we needed. There was no information. Mm. So we just had to sort of work around it, get it wrong.
Yeah. If you had to write a South African textbook for your curriculum, what would be the theme? What would be the topic? What would it be?
You were right.
No, and I'll give you time to think about it. Like,
that's my topic.
It could be like any area of fashion, even. It could be business, it could be history. It could be a case study. It could be stories. It could be anything, any kind of academic text that you could contribute as your legacy.
Okay. So I recently got married and everyone was asking, are you studying design? Are you going to design your own thing? And I realized.
That is so broad.
Yeah. What does that mean? Oh, your own dress.
Yeah, my own dress.
Oh, okay.
And then I realized I'm Indian. In South Africa, there was absolutely nothing meeting South Africa and India and putting it together. Huh.
Mm.
It was either there or I go totally Western.
Mm.
But it wasn't anything that represented who I am right now, an Shucks. Indian South African.
Shucks.
That was very difficult for me to work around.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a very good one.
So what happened?
Well, because India, the Indian outfits, because it was a very Indian wedding, it was very a religious wedding, I had to get outfits from India because they had the intricate embroidery and work that I haven't seen right here in South Africa. But I didn't come across work from many designers that represented the two.
Do you want to feel Indian South African rather than just Indian?
I do. Mm. There's a very big difference in the way I think and I the clothes that I wear compared to Indian people elsewhere.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a want. I don't know if it's a choice for you. Like, that is how you feel, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's your experiences, your sets of experiences.
But some people don't want to.
Because
they don't.
Because there's I saw another girl's wedding picture, and she actually I don't know how she got it done, I didn't actually ask her, but she had like these African designs incorporated into her outfits.
That's interesting.
So,
and why is there people, a lot of people don't want to? Is that because we're so multicultural and our origins are very different? There are so many Indian people trying to be Indian in South Africa. Chinese people trying to be Chinese in South Africa. White people trying to be European in South Africa, who actually have no interest in bridging that gap. And try to differentiate themselves with anything. So I think it is like a want.
I wanted to ask you one more question about domestic workers. And this is just around association. So if we had to work at something, at one thing about the domestic worker industry that could start to change what we associate to it, which is stigma, shame, them being invisible and unseen, those kind of things. If we could focus on one thing, that you think could change what we associate to it, what do you think that could be?
I think if we could emphasize the impact that they actually have in our lives.
Yes.
Because if you took your domestic worker and you took her out of your life, your household is going to finish because like you're
it's done.
Dust. Literally dust.
You're so busy with your own life, like and they also have their own lives, but if they're not helping you, what are you going to do without them? Like, I think if we had to emphasize the importance that they have in our home, then I think that's very
because recently our domestic worker has just, she left, and she raised me. She raised my 25-year-old brother. She was there before my parents got married. So that's 27 years ago. So she's been like my sister, my mother, my everything. So now that she's gone, it hasn't even been 5 months. And there's such a hole in like our lives. And
an actual hole probably here. Hey,
100%
in the middle of the kitchen floor. No.
No, like in our hearts everywhere. It's just because she played such an important role. And I think being aware, like with this domestic worker uniform project that we got, I've become much more aware of how she felt. And now that she's gone, I can't do anything about that. So I've almost missed out on trying to help her when I could have. She had gone already. So that's why I think it is really important what Brittany just said, because I really, really can, like tell you how much it is important when people have left your house and your family. There's a huge, huge hole in your life, and it's sad to think that I could have done something about it and I could have helped her, but now she's not there, so I can't help her. So I think it is important to let her know as well how important her job is.
But then I want to know, because you were young, you know, so you probably were too young to know just how significant she was in your house. But do you think that your parents know how important she was?
I think my parents...
And did they treat her accordingly?
Yeah, so in my family, our domestic worker was literally part of our family. So she was always... she was always there. My whole family knew. We never, ever hid her away. We were proud to have her with us. And we always treated her with care. We treated her with absolute respect because she was the most important factor of our life. She was very, very important to us. So we and my parents did treat her very, very well. And
what could you have done better then?
I think knowing that her uniform, because I never approached her about her uniform. And when I had this knowledge about how this type of stigma that's attached to a uniform, it was too late because she had gone. So I wish that I could have showed her this new uniform and expressed to her how important it was.
Well, now you have, and for so many other domestic workers.
Yes,
so I wouldn't be too hard on myself. there is such a thing as pay it forward, and you guys most certainly have.
Yeah, and I just want to close it off a little bit quickly with a quote. A quote that I actually want to fault, but it's by Marc Jacobs. And it says, clothes mean nothing until someone lives in them. But I think in the context of domestic workers in their uniforms, we could actually rephrase it as clothes mean everything, even if people live in them. But yeah, you guys are so phenomenal. Congrats on winning. Congrats on incredible design. Well done on how absolutely thoughtful you've been. And we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And obviously from now on, your services to us personally will be pro bono.
Right?
We've got like fashion designers for life. Right?
Sure.
You're going to say something about
I just want to thank you to Lisa and Imbali for actually giving us this opportunity. Yeah, I think without your work and your awareness around the situation, we wouldn't have gotten to where we are.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So no, you. Not us. No, you.
Stop.
Don't stop. With that, thank you so much for joining us on the Made Sessions with CliffCentral.com. How do they get in touch with us?
Please make sure to go on to our Twitter page at Made Project. That's MAIDE Project, as well as Facebook, which is the Made Session. That's again MAIDE. Have a very good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. See you next week.
Peace. Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.